No problem. All right, everybody, let us pray as we enter into his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with all of us who are on this call and myself as we go into your word and to learn more about you and to discuss about it, but most importantly, to have a closer relationship with you. We ask for your presence, especially your Holy Spirit, in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. So today we are going to Mark chapter 15. We're in Mark chapter 15, and if you know your a little bit of the history of the Gospels, you know that Mark was basically the first gospel written, and its messages to the Gentiles, and what the theme that Mark really uses is the power of Christ. He's a very powerful figure. He's able to heal. He's able to perform miracles. And when you come to Mark chapter 15 and you see his crucifixion, you find someone who is without power. He faces Pilate and he is judged. Pilate tries to save him by having him take the place of Barabbas. The people still call out for Barabbas. The soldiers mock him. He's ends up on the cross. Even Jesus himself, says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I wanted to start reading in verse 37, Mark 15, verse 37. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There was also a woman looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the less of Joseph and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him while he was when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So last week I talked about how the thief on the cross who stated that my Lord, remember me when you're in your kingdom, had astronomical faith. When you come to Mark 15 and you find a savior that was thematically portrayed as a very powerful figure, someone filled with the power of God, able to perform miracles, able to do many, many amazing things. He is now powerless and weak and helpless on the cross, subject to the ridicule and the almost, I would say, even torture of the Roman soldiers. And at this point, he's feeling all the guilt and the weight of all of our sins. And he even states, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as he dies, the evidence is clearly shown that he is the Christ. The evidence is so clearly shown that a Roman soldier, someone who's not even Jewish, someone who has never read the Torah, who was just there, who just saw, was able to say, surely this was the Son of God, because the world felt the sadness of the Father. Sister White says the Father was so sad at watching his son die and feeling the separation from him that he shrouded in darkness. So the planet is dark. You feel something like I imagine if you were there, you would feel something in the air, like when you're right about to feel a tornado or a hurricane or a thunderstorm, where the air becomes a little bit different than it is when it's a normal, peaceful day. Something was in the air, the sky got cloudy, everything started to be very unusual, and you could hear probably people shouting as the curtain in the temple cut in half. And if you know the history of that curtain, it took a lot of priests to hang it. It was actually very, very thick. And if it was going to rip, it would rip from the bottom up, but it ripped from the top to the bottom. So that was very unusual. That was practically supernatural. And here's a Gentile saying, surely this was the Son of God. And when I read that story, it's interesting in the fact that Mark is thematically also saying that the Jews rejected Jesus as their savior, and the Gentiles recognized, because here's a Roman soldier recognizing that this is the savior. And two, it makes me think about how sometimes when we're Seventh-day Adventists and we're Christians, sometimes we're so deep in our routine and our traditions and what makes us comfortable that we forget to see what's rumbling around us, and we miss the message that God is trying to tell us. There was a lot of Jews there, and the message was clearly shown. The temple curtain was cut in half. The weather was unusual. This man was an innocent man. Everybody knew that Jesus was innocent. Even if you believe the propaganda that the Pharisees or the Sadducees had stated against them, you knew at least he was not deserving of death. You at least knew that. I mean, it was clearly something because they were jealous of him and didn't want him to shake up their system of power. Everybody practically knew it. I mean, what's even crazier is Sunday, they're all shouting, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then on Friday, they're saying, crucify him. Sometimes when we are not actually walking with Christ and we are just walking in our routine and feeling comfortable, we can end up missing the message that Christ has given us. And we can feel like as long as we're saying Hosanna on Sunday, we can say crucify him on Friday. And some of us, that's our personality, right? We're holy one day and then we are wicked the next. And I just wanted to say real quickly that just reading this text, at least in my mind, it just reminds me to not let people outside the church see how God is moving before I can see it. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss that obvious opportunity that someone who has never been in church before, someone who has never been a Seventh-day Adventist, doesn't know the 28 fundamental beliefs, hasn't given tithes and offering, can say, wow, I know this is from God and you can't see it. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't be blind to Christ, because he's going to show up in your life. And you don't want to be one of those Pharisees or Sadducees who are just pushing him aside and putting him on a cross so you can get rid of him. You want to be at least like last week I said, the cross that said, remember me, or even at least this Roman soldier who said, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. And that's what I wanted to say. So I don't know if anyone wanted to say a comment or. No, everyone's quiet today. All right. Well, it was a pleasure to share this word with you. It was something that was on my heart, so I wanted to share it with you guys as I usually do. And let's remember to not miss the Savior working in our lives. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our Savior and wanting to be in every single one of our lives. But we just wanted to take this short time looking at that text in Mark 15 that we don't want to be the people who are in the church but miss you and don't see your work. We want to be Christians. We want to be your disciples. We want to be your servants before anything else, before any other title that we have in religion or in work or anything like that. We want to truly be people who see you, who serve you, and who know you. So be in our hearts, be in our minds, so that we don't miss your voice. We don't miss those times you're talking to us, so that we can follow the path that you have prepared for us. We ask that you be with everybody who's here for this devotion today, and those who couldn't make it, continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.